I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Puckle.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Puckle Podcast. I am your host this week, Claude9, and I'm here with some of the greatest, some of the most exciting and fun and thought-provoking co-hosts that we have on this show, starting off with the fluffiest of all of the Whimsicotts.
Hello, everyone.
And the sharkiest of all the Finnegans.
Hello!
So welcome to the Puckle Podcast. This is episode, I think, 634 or something like that. I know Thatch doesn't like to always throw it in there.
Yep.
But we're close enough to that range. Thatch unfortunately could not be here today. Scheduling issue with traveling and whatnot. So we are here today to talk about any and everything. But first, what have you guys been up to? Pokemon, not Pokemon?
Well, okay, so the closest thing to Pokemon that I have been doing is, does using elemental summons in Baldur's Gate 3 count? Because
ish.
Ish.
You're summoning creatures.
If you give them names, yes.
Okay. No, so I finished it last night. The credits just stopped rolling a couple of hours ago. And awesome. I loved it. It was great. I really, like, did not expect the game to be that complex or that appealing, even though I had heard that it was complex and appealing. So,
yep.
I'm very satisfied.
All I have left in the game is I think, the final fight or final fight or two or something like that left.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, well, I'll eventually get to this. And it's been, like, 2 months now and I haven't touched it.
Yeah, no, it's been 2 months of my life that it just ate up. Like, I looked at my gameplay time and I looked at how many weeks that was over, and it was essentially a part-time job for the past couple of months, so I'm very happy that I've finally finished it. It ate my brain, which is, that was not a joke related to the plot of the game, but well.
No, my wife like went through the entire game and is like has started a second campaign now because like I want to do all the things I didn't do the first time.
Fair.
Like a different character. So she's now playing through it a second time and it's like, all right, well, I've lost her again for a couple of months.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah,
yes.
No, that game is that kind of game for sure.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part about it though.
Yeah, but I need to get back to my other hobbies. Like this was really nuts. Like,
it was a nice break.
Yeah, it was a nice break, which I needed for several reasons, but now I need the break from the break, you know?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And Shark, what have you been up to?
I've been doing a couple different things Pokemon-wise. Pokemon Draft League, I've been doing that one. It's been pretty fun still. I have one team that I am particularly enjoying at the moment. It's a Sun team, like a Sun Trick Room team.
Oh.
Oh, is that the team that you put in chat?
Yeah, that's the one I shared on the Discord, and I just had a match where my opponent brought this, like, super scary Azurill that was, like, designed to shut down my Ninetales, but luckily Baton Pass exists now in Ninetales, so I got the heck out of there.
Oh.
But then I used a regular Exeggutor to just try to slowly whittle that thing down so it stopped being a threat.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
I used the fun Harvest Custap set.
Yes.
Because in the Sun, it always comes back. So Exeggutor just like spam Psychic and always go first.
Amazing.
That's that's awesome. I didn't realize Heatran got Power Gem.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got a lot of good moves. That one was... I was so mad I got paralyzed that game because I literally clicked Steel Beam on that Kyurem. And I'm like, no!
No.
Oh, no.
But that's all right.
A dub is a dub, right?
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how it happens.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, otherwise, I've been trying to get ready for the Pokemon Go Sinnoh Tour that's happening today. So I've been trying to get my boxes organized so I have space. And then also getting clearing all my eggs out because I'm trying to get all those regionals and whatnot that are only in those eggs. So
nice.
I do and don't miss those days of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, it's like at least with the Sinnoh Tour, at least it helps you the fact that, oh, I'm not going to be traveling all the way, you know, up far north for Pachirisu or where's Chatot?
Thank goodness.
Where the heck is Chatot? I don't even know where that one is.
I don't remember.
I think somewhere in the tropics, maybe. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, no, it does sound like a tropics one.
I don't know why I thought it was somewhere in Asia.
Chatot is Southern Hemisphere.
Never mind.
It's where is Southern Hemisphere. Yeah, that's all I'm seeing right now. I'll probably find a map later. But yeah, no. Trying to get that. And also, Mime Jr. apparently is in like 2K eggs starting during the event. So I'm like, I've got, because that one is like, has not come around yet. So I'm like, I'll be make sure to get that one.
I have released so many of them. I keep getting them.
I figured you would. It's a little easier for you to get the Mime Juniors.
Yep, it is.
It's just a train ride away for you.
No. I get them here.
Oh, you're in that. Better. Oh, it's even better.
It's Klefki's the one that is exclusive to France, but Mime Junior is all over Europe. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, even better for you. You can get it right there, and it's a plane ride for me.
Oh, yeah. I'm in the same boat with that.
I'd bring you over one, but...
If only we could trade from this far away, because I've got all sorts of...
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the next thing we need to add.
So I've got, like, what, the hair... I've got, like, Heracross and Carnivine's just naturally it kind of either from my area or from my travels, so I'm like, that would be good to send over there.
I think I have a Carnivine. I think that's when I stopped playing is when I got Carnivine.
Yeah, that one's, like, in the Florida, just like kind of southern part of the areas.
I remember
the US.
Going through, I think, Charlotte Airport, running around because I saw Carnivine like five or 6 years ago. I mean, like, oh, there's one in here. And I was just trying to like run around the airport before without missing my flight to catch it.
Nice.
Yeah, but that sounds wonderful. I played too much Pokemon. I think it's like my only hobby nowadays.
Yeah.
I have a draft league that I've started up playing in. I stream with Shamu on Sundays. We have our Heart Gold randomized soul link that we're doing. That's absolutely wild.
Fun.
I'm way too into the Pokemon Nuzlocke community just lurking because I think it's fun to Nuzlocke crazy hard games. And now I'm like, oh, I should try and play Run and Bun. And I'm like, nope, that's a terrible idea. So I'm like, all right. You know, ever since I finished Radical Red on stream, I'm like, all right, I want to find another one that's kind of hard, but not like, you know,
stupid mentally hard like Radical Red.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Radical Red wasn't that bad. Like, there's a lot of resources out there to make it a lot easier, but and I didn't even do the hardest mode on it. I'm just like, all right, I want to find stuff that's, you know, a little challenging, but it's not going to take me like 50 to 100 attempts to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could try the too many types. That one was, I think, not too challenging. I mean, it's just kind of crazy just with that one, like the fact that they added like a bajillion types. But I could tell you the final fight is a pretty difficult one, which it makes it kind of fun if you're trying like for a skill level because of how they play with the type mechanics.
Interesting.
Where there's basically like one type in the game that's like really, really terrible, but then there's a type called like basically Uno Reverse, where it's basically is the inverse of that type.
Oh no. See that's too much thinking in my mind.
But basically it's it. The yeah, but it's like But it's like, yeah, I mean, there's a type chart you can figure out, and you can, like, you could, you, like, when you know what the Pokemon I'm referring to is, like, yeah, no, that makes sense what, how they, how and why they did that, so.
I might have to check it out. I know there's a bunch of fun games out there, and I'm like, alright, I don't want something that's gonna be terribly too difficult, but I also, I like Nuzlocking because it gets rid of the paralysis of choice for me. I'm like, oh, I want to use this, I want to use this. Nope, I'm forced to only use what I find.
Yep.
And go from there. So I think that's what I'm gonna, that's what I do with a lot of the hard games, is like, alright, cool. I don't care about dying, I'm just gonna play through it so I know the story and how, why people say it's difficult, and just use whatever stuff I find.
Mm-hmm.
But, alright, that's, I believe that's where we will stop today, and we will catch y'all over with the news.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
And we are back with the news. Starting us off today is Pokemon Concierge has been confirmed to be receiving new episodes. I am so incredibly excited about this. I can't tell you the amount of joy I got from watching the first four episodes. Granted, I know it's stop motion, and stop motion takes years to make and do properly. So... I'm thrilled. I don't care if this takes another year to get another four episodes. I love it. And I'm thrilled about this.
I outright agree. It's such a, just a beautifully made animation, and just different than what Pokemon's done recently. It's, I'm glad that they are making more of this.
Not only that, but it's just wholesome. It gives you the Pokemon world in a different light, I think, which I think is cool. And I'm just waiting now for the merch to come out that's, make your own clay Dragonites. Here's how you can turn these, like, blocks of clay into a Dragonite. And it, like, walks you through a step-by-step process to mold your own Dragonite out of clay.
See, I don't think that most of the target audience for that, which is children, would have the ability to have a result that satisfies them.
Fair enough. They might have to make them out of clay and then just sell them made out of clay.
Yeah, like if you make a paper craft,
okay,
you get the result.
That's fair.
Clay's not easy to work with.
I would love them to make clay figurine. Great, if they made a clay for it, I would be all on board because it's in the show. And it's my new Netflix icon and I'm never getting rid of it.
Ooh, I might need to make that my Netflix icon too.
I didn't know they put those as Netflix icons. I need to change one of ours.
Oh, yes.
I need it, too.
I think something happened where we got signed out of our Netflix account or lost our old Netflix account and had to, like, renew it or something like that. And when I brought it back, I was like, oh, create, what do you want your icon to be? And I'm like, oh, they have Pokemon Concierge stuff? Oh, we are going in. And then I found my ferret, and I'm like, great, well, this is it forever, and it's never going to change.
Yep. No one's touching that.
But in other news, Maridon is going to be releasing in Pokemon Unite on Pokemon Day, which is the 27th, or is it tomorrow? I mean, is it 25th?
The 27th.
27th is the date.
27th is Pokemon Day. So that will be tomorrow from the podcast, first airing. There's also a Pokemon Presents on that day. Unless you're in Australia, then it happens the next day. Sorry.
Because time zones are weird. Well, they're not weird, but they exist.
Yes, and we'll talk more about Pokemon Day in our topic today. But there's other news out in the world.
As you see in the title of the episode, yes, we will be talking a lot about that.
So in Scarlet and Violet news, the latest outbreak event includes Hisuian Voltorb with boosted shiny odds, so you can get your Black Ball, and it lasts through most of Tuesday, so if you're hearing this the day it releases, you're still in time for that.
What color is shiny Hisuian Voltorb?
Black.
Yeah, it goes black.
Ooh.
It goes like a nice matte black.
I like that.
It's like a heavy ball type, I think, is the kind of rough influence, like, from that game.
Yeah, it's like a charcoal color.
Yeah.
Like, it fits the palette of the Pokemon itself. It's nice.
Hey, I'm on board.
there has been a rule announcement that for large tournaments going forward, players are going to have to submit a rental code with their team registration, which is probably related to the hack check, because there have been a lot of incidents regarding that lately, and they probably want to put like a damper on that because it's been kind of going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has.
Obligatory Pokemon Go news segment, very short. It's still about Pokemon Day. It's got a lot of general love. It's bringing back Armored Mewtwo and the Clone Starters in honor of the fact that Pokemon, the first movie, the remake, is coming back to Netflix on Pokemon Day.
Yay!
Yeah, no, that's exciting because those were just like felt like they were limited the last time they came around on Go. So it's like, oh, hey, cool. We got to try to do that. Maybe eventually they come into home. Who knows if they ever will, the special forms. But still, those are really fun, cool ones to get.
Yeah, they're fun.
They even have like a raid day event on the following Saturday where they're doing the Gengar versus Nidorino with the fun party hats.
Nice.
That's cool.
All right. For some TCG news, Japan just revealed some new cards from the upcoming sets. They have a new A-Spec Unfair Stamp, which can only be used if your opponent KO'd a Pokemon, where you can shuffle away both hands. You get 5 cards while your opponent only gets 2, which that seems pretty good. And then additionally, they got Blood Moon Ursaluna, who was it Blood Moon Ursaluna EX, I think?
Yes.
Which has 260 HP, and then it hits for 240 damage with less energy the more prizes your opponent has taken. Kind of like the Charizard, the shiny Charizard.
Oh, Radiant Charizard.
Radiant Charizard, yeah.
It's very similar, but now anyone can use it because it's colorless. And
mm-hmm.
It might be a one-of inclusion in a couple of decks, probably, somewhat.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool that they decided to make it just a straight-up EX, because, yeah, you can't get Blood Moon Ursaluna in the game otherwise, just as a one-off event. So, yeah, I'm like, oh, that's neat.
It makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Pokemon Day League events, they're offering some cool damage counter dice and some other fun stuff going on, too. So if you've got any of those nearby, you should take a look into those.
I think I have one coming up maybe tomorrow or something, actually. Or in a week or so. One of the two. But, all right, on to the Puckle news. You know, Thatch usually puts it out, but Thatch does his egg lock on Wednesdays, and Shamu and I have our Heart Gold randomized Soul Link on Sunday. So make sure you tune into those events, because they're going to be fun.
Yep, they'll be on Twitch, just check it on Twitch. Maybe they'll start popping up videos on YouTube soon, so.
But yeah. Well, there's no Puggle Pokey prediction, because that is the topic of the episode today.
Yep.
So, with that, we will head on over to the Game Corner. We can quiz our co-hosts on their insane, innate, born-with Pokemon knowledge.
Oh hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
And we are back with our Game Corner. We are here today to test Shark and Whimsicott on their Pokemon knowledge. Are you guys ready?
Yes. Maybe. Hopefully.
Okay. So, your first question, general trivia question. Out of all 9 generations of fully evolved starters, only 2 pairs share a hidden ability, one of them being Meowscarada and Greninja, sharing Protean. But what's the other ability that's shared between starters?
Oh.
Hidden.
So, we have...
Don't both Meganium and Venusaur get Chlorophyll has a hidden ability? Am I being dumb?
I don't think...
Meganium doesn't get it, right?
I don't think it's Meganium. Venusaur has chlorophyll. Venusaur's chlorophyll, Charizard's solar power, Blastoise, rain dish. Put a pin in rain dish.
Okay.
Feraligatr, sheer force. Typhlosion, I think, might be flash fight. And Meganium, I think it's leaf guard.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's leaf guard. Course, I think Meganium it is a sun ability, but I don't think it's chlorophyll. That's
Meganium couldn't get anything good, of course.
And I forgot to say, this is from Muley Coffee, who submitted this trivia question.
Okay, good. So,
Gen 3, Unburdened Sceptile, Speed Boost Blaziken, and Damp Swampert.
Yeah.
Gen 4, we have Defiant / Competitive Empoleon, Iron Fist, Infernape, and what? Torterra.
I don't remember.
Torterra.
Superior has Contrary. Samurott has, what does Samurott have?
I think it's Shell Armor.
Sounds correct.
I think it's something like that. And then, yeah, Embor is Reckless.
Yeah.
Gen 6, we have Bulletproof, Magician, and Proteon.
And Proteon. Gen 7.
Liquid Voice, Intimidate.
That's Long Reach is the...
Yes, Long Reach.
Yeah.
8.
Huh.
Is...
Well, Libero and Grassy Surge and Sniper.
Then Gen 9, well, we already know Protean.
Yep.
And
then
Unaware.
Unaware and Moxie.
And Moxie. Okay.
So it's Torterra and something else.
I was about to say, okay,
we've went through everything and we're back at Torterra. So it's likely Torterra. What would it be paired with? I actually think it's Torterra and Samurott.
With Shell Armor. It would make sense.
That makes the most sense to me. Out of every ability, I think that's gotta be Torterra's.
Is that your final answer?
It's so appropriate that it has to be it. And as long as it's not a Hisuian. It doesn't make as much sense as what we're saying.
I'm trying to think. Hisuian. It's not a. We're not counting Hisuians, right?
We could.
Oh.
Could doesn't mean yes.
Sorry. Yes, we are counting Hisuians. That gives you three more to look at.
Okay, let's think. What are they? They are sharpness first. What is explosion? I feel like I just...
I am going to need an answer.
Yeah. I think we need to stick with that.
I think we stick with it and just pray it's not a Hisuian.
Yeah.
Torterra and Samurott.
That is correct with Shell Armor. So, Hisuian Typhlosion has Frisk, and Hisuian Decidueye has Scrappy.
That's right, it is Scrappy.
I thought it was Frisk, but I also thought it had been changed at some point, so I wasn't sure anymore.
Yeah, I think Decidueye also had Long Reach for a while, but it was also changed. A lot of the... You know, the Gen...
Yeah, I think he's, like, it had something, his Hisuian Typhlosion had something in the code of Arceus, and then it was changed
when it
got ported over, so...
Because it only had one in Arceus, but I think you could get it to have a second one when it brought over.
It was strange.
Arcanine even had its ability changed. I know a lot of them had their abilities changed.
All right, well, on to question number 2. This one is from Umbreon 1080. The mental herb was given the ability to cure most mental effects in Generation 5. Before that, though, it could only cure one effect. Which effect?
Was it Infatuation?
I could believe it's just Infatuation.
Because, you would... Okay, so...
Because it currently stops things like Taunt.
Exactly.
And Taunt, Encore... Don't even think it stops confused. I don't think it stops confused.
I don't think it does. No, because
so
that's,
I think it's. I think only infatuation. I think it does too. So I think it's just infatuation.
It would seem like so. It seems like a very strange thing. Like it would make more sense for it to be Taunt, but at the same time, Taunt. I see it as like a part of a group of things that are sort of equivalent in concept, whereas infatuation is its own thing. And if it has to be only one, then if you look at it this way, it would make more sense for it to be infatuation. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think if you... how they did the original games, it has to be like a specific condition. And mm-hmm. then from... and then... but once they started in the newer games, yeah, they started bringing in the things like, oh, it can stop taunt move and whatnot. But I think mm-hmm, infatuation mm-hmm. is the only thing that really kind of hits that makes sense to me. Because it's obviously not of any of the other standard status conditions like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Poison, sleep, whatnot.
No, definitely
Confusion's
not.
Possible, but I don't think so. I think it's more likely a berry. I don't think there's even an infatuation berry. So
there's see, that's the point. There's no infatuation berry, but there is a confusion berry. So
yeah, I think it's just infatuation.
We can try for that.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
That is correct. Infatuation's the only one.
Nice.
And from before Gen 5. All
awesome.
Right. We are now on to the Pokédex question. And this one comes from Liger. Its Omega Ruby entry reads, "This Pokemon intimidates its foes by opening its huge mouth. In battle, it will kick the ground hard with its thick and powerful hind legs to charge at the foe at an incredible speed. Who's that Pokemon?"
Okay, my first thought was Trapinch. But then it said strong hind legs, and I'm like,
no,
not those little stubs.
No. The first thought I had was Exploud, because it has a huge mouth.
Okay.
But, you know, charging at foes at full speed?
And it doesn't have hind legs. It just has a pair of legs.
Exactly.
So that's, okay, so we need huge mouth, four legs, Gen 6 or earlier. But preferably something from Hoenn.
I mean, it probably needs to be able to stand up on those hind legs.
True. It needs to have... you know, it's got to be powerful hinds.
Unless you know, they're counting Exploud as... you know, even though it's bipedal, it's still a Pokemon, so it's still an animal, so the legs are hind legs. But I don't know.
Big mouth. Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Big mouth. It could be, like, I could see Leyron as, like, I almost thought Aggron, but I'm like, it needs to probably be more on four legs, and that's the layer I think Leyron gets me. Camerupt is possible, but I think it's going to be more about Volcano with that thing.
The mere idea of Camerupt charging anywhere at full speed is...
It doesn't have to be fast, but I would definitely... yeah, but... I could see a camera up run.
That is funny.
I don't. But... I don't know. I think either, like, the Loudred line or the Aaron line are very nice.
Yeah.
As ideas.
I think we just locked down... I think we locked down Leyron and we go to the next one if we need to.
Yeah. I like that.
All right. Its Soul Silver entry reads, "It is hard for it to support its own weight out of water, so it sometimes gets down on all fours, but it moves fast."
Oh.
Okay. Sometimes it's hard.
It sometimes gets down on all fours.
Because it's hard to support its own weight outside of the water? Huh.
I also have a second hint as well, if you need it.
Is it a... I think I know what it has to be now.
Okay.
I think it has to be some... well, why would it have issues supporting itself on four legs outside of water? Maybe because it's got something really big on its head? Is it Lombre?
No, but it says that...
It sometimes gets on four legs. It looks... the way it's slouched, if I can remember it.
Remember the first entry. This Pokemon intimidates its foes by opening its huge mouth.
So maybe the head itself is really big. And it lives in water. And it can charge on its height. I really cannot picture this Pokemon at all. I'm having so much trouble. So it's got to be bipedal. In the sprite, because it can go on all fours, but it usually doesn't. It has to live in the water, okay, but it can come out of it.
Okay.
And it's got to be have something. A big mouth.
What gets out of water? You have Golduck is a water. Is a water Pokemon. I don't.
But it doesn't have a huge mouth. It's not intimidating. It doesn't charge at foes.
The Poliline, not the Poliwrath. Politoed has a mouth that's decent big, but I don't.
But come on, no.
They're water type.
I am going to need an answer.
Okay, so hear me out.
Or you can use your hint, and I can give you the other hint.
So how about Swampert?
It could be. I would think it would be Mud, but I mean Swampert's not a. I can't think of it. It's got to be something. But now it's Gen 4, 3 or 2. Probably 3 or 2. Yeah, Swampert could work. Because, yeah, that one does 2 and 4. I guess, yeah, we could go Swampert. Because I got nothing else.
Yeah, I got nothing else either.
All right. Unfortunately, that is incorrect. So I'm going to give you this this extra hint that I created. I want to see if you can get it from here. It's Puckledex entry reads Thatch.
Oh, Feraligatr. Nice.
Yep. I figured that would be a silly way to get you to know the answer. But yeah, it's Feraligatr.
Feraligatr. Okay.
Nice. Okay. Okay, well, that was fun.
All right. Well, that's fine. You're 2 for 3 right now, but you can make that up this round with your multiple choice question. There are a total of 9 Pokemon that, when they evolve, gain the ground type. They didn't have it, but now they gain the ground type. There are 9 Pokemon. If you can name, let's say, for every, I don't want to say every 2, but like, if you get three right, I will give you a point. If you get 6 right, I will give you 2 points. And if you can get 8 right, because I think one of them is difficult, I will give you all 3. I'll give you 3 points.
All right. 9 Pokemon. Let's think. What Pokemon?
Well, we were talking about Swampert.
Is it Marsh Tomp? Does Marsh Tomp ground? Or is Marsh Tomp water?
That's a difficult question. I think Marsh Tomp is already ground, but I'm not sure.
Let's just say the Swampert line.
That's what I'll give it to you. Okay. And the answer is it would be Marsh Tomp, just for a future.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I just wanted to see if we could get away with the line there. So Swampert's one.
If you name the line, I will give it to you. That's
good. Okay, cool.
It's not an evolution.
No.
Nidorino to Nidoking and Nidorina to Nidoqueen.
All right, that is 3. That's 3. You have 1 point.
Awesome.
Okay.
I think, is Turtwig already a ground type?
It's not. Torterra line is another.
Yep.
Locking that in?
Specifically Grottle to Thor.
Yep. That is 4.
The Tempole line to Swampert, Seismitoad.
Yeah.
Yep. That's 5.
And I think Shellos is also just a water type.
Oh, you're right.
So
yeah,
when it goes to Gastrodon, it becomes a ground type.
That is 6. You have 2 points. If you can get 2 out of the remaining 3, I will give you all 3 points.
Okay. Is Wooper already a ground type? I think it is.
Wooper is a ground. Wooper, I'm pretty sure is.
Okay. Wormadam.
That's a great one. Good pull. Wormadam Sandy Cloak.
Wormadam with a
that
Sandy
is
cloak.
7. That was one I didn't think you were going to remember, but you got it.
Oh, man. All right. Okay.
There are 2 left, and they both share the same type.
Interesting.
Give you a little hint.
Interesting. Okay.
I'm trying to think what the type could be. Because that would help. And I'm excluding a few of them. So I'm
pretty sure we almost have burned out every water ground out there.
So I think we might not have question. Because
answer.
It's a question for Shark.
Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah. Answer.
Is Funnelby already a ground type? Or is it just a normal type?
That is because nope, that's it. Because you know what else is another normal ground type out there? Ursaluna.
There you go.
The last two are Diggersby and Ursaluna.
That's it. You got it. That is all.
Good job.
That is 3 points.
Go ask without using the hint.
We still haven't used the hint.
No.
Yeah, I don't think we should hash it in, so we better use it now.
Yeah, we need to use it now.
Yep. Give me 1 second. All right, so you have your final question, and I'll let you do this. All right, so I didn't like the ones that were given and coming. By the way, that ground question came from Totes McCray. This next one comes from Z Paladin, although I changed it. So, which Pokemon that learns Grassy Glide has the lowest base speed? That is your base stat question.
That is an incredibly specific question.
I think it's incredibly specific enough to use the hint.
Right away, yeah.
You know, let's just go ahead and just burn it now, and then we can think about it.
Your hint. It is a grass-type Pokemon from Gen 8.
Okay, well that... Oh, I can tell you which is a very... I can tell you what it is from there. It's got to be Gossifleur. I know for a fact Eldegoss gets it. And
they're terribly slow.
They're terribly slow. They're so slow. Because it's not... Grookey has some speed to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
it's like...
It's either that or Applin, and I...
Does Applin get Grassy Glide?
I kind of think it did. I'm trying to think. It's either Applin or Gossifleur, because both of those are the really slow grass types.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think I could... I'm pretty sure that Appleton, being the slowest of all that line, is still faster than Eldegoss. So I'm still kind of going in the...
And I'm still not even sure that they get the move.
Yeah. I think they did, but I cannot tell you for a fact. Because no one really runs Grassy Glide unless you're Rillaboom or super grassy terrain.
Yeah, and the only one that is a physical attacker gets Sucker Punch. So, but I think I would have like at least seen it used once.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any other.
I think Gossifleur is a really good answer.
Yeah, it's one of those two because I can't think of any other grass types in Gen 8 that would be it. Like nothing that isn't like a legendary.
Yeah,
but I'm happy to stake my claim on Gossifleur.
And I'm happy to follow you there.
All right. Gossifleur is correct.
Woo! Way to go, Shark.
There we go.
So it does share a base speed of 10 with Ferroseed, but Ferroseed does not get Grassy Glide. Originally, it was what was the fastest grass type that learns Grassy Glide, but I thought that was too easy.
Oh, Applin has base 20 speed, but it doesn't know any moves. I forgot about that stupid fact. So it does not learn Grassy Glide either. There we go.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, so, no, they do get Grassy Glide. I was right. Appleton does get Grassy Glide.
Huh.
I wasn't wrong.
Whoa.
Overall, I believe you get 6. What's your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points from today.
Mm-hmm. Sounds correct.
6 points today. Congratulations. That will affect the leaderboard some way, some shape, somehow. I don't know. They'll figure it out later. That's a fast thing. All right. And with that, we will head on over to our topic.
We have another review from FatPat1988. It slaps. I began listening to the podcast back in Gen 5 right before X and Y released. At the time, it was okay. Fell out of Pokemon for a bit around Gen 7 and only recently came back. I came back to the podcast as well, and I have to say they have really grown into something spectacular. I thoroughly enjoy the structure and content of the show. At this point, in my opinion, it is easily one of the best Pokemon podcasts out there. Well, thank you, FatPat1988. And if you have a review, please drop it wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps people find the show. But until next time, let's move on to the topic.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we are back with our topic for today, Pokemon Day. Pokemon Presents. All of this is happening, and will happen in a day from this podcast releasing, so we are going to take our best, you know, shot in the dark, our guess about what we want to happen, what we expect will happen, and what we think might be plausible versus not plausible, all that kind of fun stuff.
And then we are going to give you an absolutely wild card of a guess.
Yes.
and we'll see if any of us gets anywhere close to the truth.
Yeah. Remember to get your bingo cards set and ready.
Yep.
All right. Starting off, Whimsicott, what do you want? What do you want from Pokemon Day?
Something about Unova.
Unova?
Yes, Unova, but... So I would rather not have a BDSP version of Black and White, because BDSP was cute, but I think that sort of, like, faithful remake and style was slightly more appropriate for Sinnoh. Unova has a different vibe, a different feel, and I think, you know, whatever didn't work in BDSP would work even less applied to Unova, in my opinion.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, I remember Black and White being a much darker storyline, because it is, and I don't think the cute chibi art style fits it very well.
Exactly. It's like darker, it's edgier, it's more modern as well. It's overall a little more grown up. So not like for adults, but definitely like 2 or 3 years ahead of Diamond and Pearl as far as the age of the target audience went, in my opinion. So yeah, I would not want to play through Unova with a little chibi character.
All right, so...
It would feel awkward.
I don't think you're totally wrong. I do, but I'll say I have seen people, like, attempt to, like, what would it look like kind of thing, and made, like, a little chibi in, and I'm like, that actually kind of, like, I think it could have some work. My only issue is it's just, like, doing a remake of an Unova game is is a little bit of a different animal than any of the others, because the fact you have Black White 2... And Black White 2 as a basis. Like, how do you just do straight Black White? Do you do both?
I think if you do, you lose so much. You lose so much if you do. Like, the fact that it has its own Pokedex in Black and White. Sure, you could transform the central area that was connected to the Dream World into something that is like the equivalent of the underground in BDSP, where you find Pokemon from the other generations. But there's so much potential.
They could do that with the Dream World, but it just doesn't... The Dream World didn't function like the underground.
No. They could make... Yeah, they could essentially make the Dream World version of the underground. They could. It would look cute. It would be fascinating. But I just think if you leave Black 2 and White 2 in the dust, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
So here's the thing, though. I would be more okay if they did a faithful remake of White 2, Black 2 than Black and White. And the reason being is they added a whole lot more into Black 2, White 2 for you to do post-game and just in general, like the whole world tournament. You have the whole subway system. Like, there was a lot more you could do. And it was a lot more, I think, versed, and the world felt more spread out, in my opinion.
Yeah, but see, when they do the remakes, they don't really give you all the post-game content, so...
Oh, like, because that's what I, like, that was my favorite part of Black and White 2, was the world tournament. I loved the world tournament.
Yeah, I don't think, It probably would not be in the remakes.
You're right, but I can, that's what I would want if they were going to do a faithful remake. They just do a faithful remake of Black 2, White 2, versus Black and White.
But it would be so awkward to just skip Black and White.
Or, hear me out, they combine both games into one. You finish Black and White, get the option to restart the game as in, like, White 2. Granted, also a weird idea. Probably doesn't work, but still.
So, no, that would be amazing if they managed to implement what should have been a thing in Gold and Silver. Like, if you get to the end and you meet your main character from Black and White with the team that you beat the Elite Four with.
Ooh, that is such a cool concept. I like that.
Since it's all in the same game, you have the data. It's so cool. They're never going to do it, but it would be so cool.
That is super interesting idea, though, to go from like, all right, you basically have to play two games, but your first boss of what you do in game one becomes the champion in game two.
It would be great. Like, they could do, I don't know, they could do a remake of Black and White, and then the DLC is the remake of Black and White 2, but it doesn't work like a regular DLC. It's essentially a second part of the game.
That is really cool. I like it. I don't think they'll do it, but I think that's awesome, and now I want it.
No, they're never gonna do it. It would be awesome, though.
Now, the thing is, we haven't touched on this other part of the Unova thing is, what if they don't do, like, a Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl remake, and they just do something else?
That, I think, is more plausible in my head. I think there's two options I see that are really kind of interesting for Unova right now, which is number one, doing the Legends version, and the other is doing a sequel.
Oh, so Black White 3.
I think there's a chance of that. I don't know, but I think it could be interesting.
I would love both of those. I think one of them is far more plausible than the other. But at this point, they've surprised us so many times. Like, I was thinking this morning about what I was going to say during this topic, and I realized this is possibly the year where I really have no idea what they're going to say at this point, because they've been getting less and less and less predictable over the past few years, and that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. They really have. I mean, there's a few things that we expect will be said, but in terms of the games, they can go very out there. There's a lot that you can do with this because the fact you have, like, the thing with Unova and what they've done in Scarlet and Violet is they've set up a future world within that you have the legendary trio as future robot-y, you know, Iron Boulder, Iron Crown, Iron Thorns.
Mm-hmm.
And you have already built into the base game, you have the Black City and White Forest. What if we went into a future, you know, a future Unova where, like, it was all, like, where it's like super Black City type of style across the whole region, you know, where it is future, and you can actually catch the wild versions of those guys, and, you know, potentially other future Paradox Pokemon like Iron Moth and such. So
as much as I love that idea, if you look at just like the sales of all the Pokemon, like of all the Pokemon games, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl outsold Legends Arceus.
Because they're two games.
Yeah, because there's two games.
Correct. I agree. And it's out for a year. It was out for a year longer, too. I understand.
Not really. It was only a few months.
Yeah, like 3 months.
It's still. But literally, cut BDSP sales in half.
I know, but that's not what Pokemon sees. They can make two games, vary it slightly, and they can make slightly more money.
I know.
The other thing, Pokemon Let's Go has made more money than both. And granted, there was also Pikachu and Eevee, two gems.
But it was the first Pokemon game on the Switch.
And there's two versions. Like, I don't think they're...
I have to bring it up.
You do, but...
Because, I know, I think we should just get through this get through it right now. Is Pokemon Let's Go, is it going to happen or not? I don't think it is. I think they're done with...
Not in Unova.
No, if they're going to do it, it'd be Johto. But... I think it's...
Yeah, because literally, I made the Twitter poll, I made it as a joke, and, like, it's, like, I don't even know what they would do as like the, like, we don't even know if they were to do Let's Go Johto. We don't know what the start, like the starter pair is, because there's not a Pikachu Eevee duo.
It's Pichu and Meryl.
There's even that hard, like that much harder to figure out for.
Yeah. For every generation.
For Unova. Like, I was joking and put Pansier. So, like, I don't know.
All right, I just want to put that to bed now so we don't have to talk about it again, is I don't think Pokemon Let's Go is going to happen.
No, but especially since Pokemon Go is getting less popular.
I think it could, but it would be Johto, if any.
All right, anyways, back to Unova. So,
should we go back to Unova? Because I think a lot of people are screaming right now at us, saying, no, come on, we had that thing in the YouTube video. It's obviously going to be something related to Johto. And so we should discuss that.
Yeah, one last top. If we were to see a past Legends Unova, we obviously have the origin story of Kyurem, Black, White.
Yeah, the original dragon.
Dig Down, which could be very interesting if you went more past-oriented. That was the last thing I wanted to say. You have White Forest, you have that. You can build some pretty cool world in that regards.
So it sounds like for Unova, there's three possibilities, being Legends Unova, a BDSP, what's it, Ilka remake of Black and White, or a Black and White 3. Now, if we move on over to Johto, because the other big region people are talking about, it's Johto. But what can they do?
There have been so many rumors of, well, let's start with the obvious. Or at least the one that I've seen a lot initially was like, oh, if they were to do a Let's Go, it'd be in Johto. Because you do have, but it's, I don't know if they're going to do that style of game again.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But, I mean, they could, I mean, it really could make it.
So, let me.
And it would still probably do fine.
Let me put things in perspective, though.
I'm just trying to figure out what the duo is going to be.
The reason why I think Let's Go is not going to happen is because it came out 3 years before Shining, Diamond and Pearl remakes and Arceus, and it is like only 10 million units sale ahead in 3 years. That's not a lot. So, and granted, it had the hype of being the first one, so I really don't think from a money perspective they're going to do that again. The thing is, if they go to Johto, what are they going to do? I don't think they're going to, like, I mean, they could do another, like, just Heart Gold, Soul Silver remake, but
I think
that doesn't add anything. Like, I understand the reasoning behind why they did.
To be fair, BDSP didn't add anything. It remade the game.
But it added those games on the Switch. And that'd be the only reason to do Heart Gold, Soul Silver, so you can play those games on the Switch. And granted, I think most people would just prefer them to add it to the Nintendo Online Store.
Yeah.
Keep the game as is.
Yeah, because it was, so Heart Gold and Soul Silver was perfect for its time, perfect for its console, and for the style of game and graphics that was Gen 4. If you tried to do a remake of a remake, I don't know that a lot of people, like, they would be like, yeah, the remake of the best game ever, and then it's not the best game ever anymore because the zeitgeist has changed. And then it would be like a disappointment, in my opinion. Not for everyone, of course, but for more people than you would expect, probably. Whereas if you, like, it's really funny that the two most, like, hyped gens are 2 and 5, because they are the ones that, we've said it a million times before, are the most primed for a Legends game. Because you already have so much lore. And it's like, so, I understand that the arguments for these two regions being the next ones is that, like, there's a thread that makes one of them the next one, depending on which thread you follow, but they both have a thread. And also they were the ones you essentially visit in Gen 9, the ones that got the Paradox Legends and all of that. I think this is the point where we should bring up the possibility, however remote, that since they are essentially almost equivalent in weight of probability of them being the next game, and it's like, why should one of them win over the other? What if we get neither of them? What if you get something else? That would would be wild, but...
So that's the other thing that we haven't talked about would be, what if they do something brand new? I've heard talks about a DLC 3 for Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, which would make sense.
I mean, it would work as well. Normally, though, there is some other game that comes out. So there could be another quote-unquote Gen 9 game, because I feel like just adding a DLC is not the best money-wise for them. They would have to also pair it with something else entirely.
Yeah, they would have to do You would have to get a spinoff. I don't...
And I'm okay with there being a spinoff and more DLC. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think that's also plausible, because, like, you get... The DLC is the equivalent of a main series game, essentially, but it's not quite a main series game, so you get, the spin-off to round it out. And lately, they've given us, like, new Pokemon Snap and Mystery Dungeon DX, and it's like, those were a bit... Yeah, Detective Pikachu, I keep forgetting. Like, it's the one... game that I haven't gotten. I can't bring myself to. And it's like, they could do that. I think a lot of people would be disappointed, but they could totally do it.
let's try and plan this out. Let's, like, the normal Pokemon Day directs are, let's say, roughly 20-ish minutes. I don't know. There's no time set. Let's say it's roughly 20 minutes. You know they're going to start the first 10 minutes, if not the first 15, I'd say 10 minutes, is going to be a recap of 25 years of Pokemon.
What it's going to be is going to be maybe 1 to 2 minutes of that, and then it's going to be all the mobile game plugs. I can tell you what it's going to be.
Oh, yes. Sorry. You're right. It's going to be a longer intro because it is Pokemon Day, and they always want to do, like, you know, I think it's 25 years of Pokemon being in the, of the game being out, right?
Yeah, or so probably, I think it's the 25 in the U.S. It's 26 years.
25 in the U.S., that's it.
Yeah, but they don't count it as 25 in the U.S., because why would they?
No, they count, it's 26.
They don't, they count 26.
So, you're right, we're gonna get a small recap. I'm gonna say, like, 3 to 4 minute recap of Pokemon. Someone's gonna talk for a minute just to waste time, because that always happens. I'm gonna introduce this to you, we're gonna talk about what's gonna happen, then I'm gonna show you exactly what I just said. Then we're going to go back to that person. Then they're going to, they're going to cut to all the mobile games. You're going to get something new for...
So you're going to get Masters EX. There's going to be, I think the rumor in that game is, like, you're going to get, I think, some Paldean. You're going to get Arvin and the male protag. I think that's the rumors. No, there's not been any data mines or anything to suggest otherwise at this point, but that's where that one's going to be. We're going to get Pokemon Go. We're going to get the Go Pokemon Day event that we talked about during the topic, where it's going to be the recap of that. And we're going to get probably a tease of what this next season is going to be. You know, they have all the different seasons, so we're going to get whatever that is.
There's going to be night news. They're going to probably reveal maybe some new...
They're going to say Muradon comes today, and they're probably going to talk about the draft. I think they're doing the new draft format as a thing now. So you got...
Or they're going to introduce another line of a new Pokemon they're going to add to the game or something like that. There'll be something about Pokemon Cafe Remix, because why? There'll be a Pokemon Sleep update.
They will. Exactly. They're going to say something about that. They're going to probably drop new Pokemon or something here soon.
But by the way, it's 28 years. Just wanted to say it.
Okay, I thought it was a little later than that.
Yeah. Yep. And I think they might pull out something weird. Like, remember how we got that, like, premium TCG playset last year? They might pull out something like that again.
I could see something like that, something about with the TCG, something with animations as well. There might touch on the fact that Concierge is getting more episodes, and or they have another project they're working on.
They're going to introduce new projects is the other, like, half of it. And I'm convinced it's going to be, you know, it's going to touch on something with the card game, because it's 25, it's Pokemon Day. There always hits something. They try and hit all of their platforms. So they'll hit something with the card game, and then they'll get into Pokemon games. And what I think they're going to do, and this is just my guess, is they're going to put Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald on, like, Nintendo Online.
Yeah, that That's the interesting question. Are they going to do anything with NSO? Because they have in the code, they still have Pokemon Pinball, Ruby and Sapphire, just chilling in there. They have done nothing with it. It's just been lurking in there.
This is my thought. They're not going to release Pokemon Pinball, Ruby, Sapphire. They're going to release Pokemon Pinball, Scarlet, Violet.
Oh. You know what? You know what? That is a wild card I actually could believe.
That is my wild card throw out there, is that.
Honestly, I would react to that with the same face that I made when Pokemon Sleep was announced. I'd be like, I could not have predicted this in my wildest dreams, but, you know, it's hilarious, but I could get behind it.
So, I come from the vein of, I want something new. I don't want them to keep redesigning the old same Pokemon thing. And I think Pokemon at one point said they wanted to do something different as well. So, I think we're going to get something new announced. Whether that's a new mobile game, whether that's a new spin-off, it's something new. I don't want them to just repeat the same things, even if they work. I want something new. So, in my mind, it's either in my dream scenario, it's either, granted, I don't mind a new Legends game, I'd love a new Legends game, but, like, Black White 3, to me, is new, and that would be super fun. Because they have a lot of tie-ins between Unova and Scarlet Violet with Blueberry Academy, and that's great. I would love that. I would love a new spin-off game. I don't just want them to repeat the same things or remake older games just for the sake of remaking them. I understand where they're coming from, and I think the possibility of there being a Unova remake is more likely than Johto, just because I don't think there's a way to get all the Pokemon from Gen... there's no way to get Pokemon from Black and White into Home anymore.
Yes, there is.
There still is. It's just you can't... Well, let's just rephrase. There, if you don't already have it, there is no way.
You can't get it, but it still works if you have it.
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, if you have it, it's fine. But, like, there is now a cutoff where if you didn't already have something, you can't get it. And Pokemon does not like that. So whatever main series, quote-unquote, game they give you, it's going to have all the missing pieces.
Yeah, Pokemon Bank is a ticking time bomb.
But that also, technically that applies to everything backwards from Gen 5 to Gen 3.
You're right, but all those Pokemon, there's a lot of Pokemon that are in the game already, though.
Fair. So, I think, okay, hear me out. This is my wild card.
Okay.
And it's a totally wild card because I remembered that Pokemon Conquest exists.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it did not do well.
No.
But now, those kinds of games are more popular. And so, if Pokemon could do a strategic kind of game like that. So what they would need, objectively, is to make a crossover with something a bit more popular than Nobunaga's Ambition. They would need to crossover with Fire Emblem.
Which is still within Nintendo's house. So I think that is much more likely.
If they actually did, I don't think we're ever going to see anything like that again. Because, again, they tried and it didn't work, essentially. But it would be really cool if they tried again, and they surprised us with what is for some of us the ultimate crossover of Pokemon and Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I definitely think that would be like a very great one to do.
Mm.
One thing I could think, if you were going to throw a wild card on my end, I have two now that I have.
Ooh.
One related to Fire Emblem. One of the companies that works on there and also worked on the Nobunaga game or the Pokemon Conquest game was Koei Tecmo, who also mm-hmm. does Dynasty Warriors. So, and we already have had, you know, the Fire Emblem Dynasty, you know, style game. We've had the Zelda one. Why not a Pokemon one where it's one Pokemon versus hordes of them? That could be funny. That could be a little wild.
That is definitely a wild one out there.
But my one that I think which I think would appeal to a broad, not Pokemon-centric audience, but you would be able to honestly start a good wave, would be a Pokemon Suica type of game.
Like an actual one.
What is that? Enlighten me.
Yeah, have you not heard of Suica game, the watermelon game?
Oh, the watermelon. Okay.
What?
So are you familiar with the game 2048?
Yes.
So it's similar in that vein where you have, you combine smaller things into bigger things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they could easily make a Pokemon, like, version of that game for, like, $10 and people would buy it and love it.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, basically what it is, you're just dropping fruit. You drop small fruit and then make bigger fruit, and then you eventually keep getting bigger fruit and bigger fruit and bigger fruit. And they just announced at the Nintendo Direct that they are doing a multiplayer DLC for that game, so now people can go against each other.
Oh.
But basically, it's just like a simple, just like chill type of, you know, like a Tetris, like a...
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Puyo Puyo type of game where it's just very chill, just kind of, you know, you just do it on your own and just...
Funny enough, a Pokemon mod of that game exists.
I know, there's definitely... People have made those versions on Steam and whatnot.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I could definitely see happening. They're like...
But actually, like, a fully polished version, like, I think it could be... It would probably get a huge amount of sales for not that much effort.
So,
yeah.
Just have the nice Pokemon polish all over it, and it would be really fun. Just drop Pokeballs or drop, you know, different Pokemon. It could be kind of interesting. I don't know.
So, this wouldn't be a Claude 9 host's Puckle without me mentioning Pokemon Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness.
Right.
Either a direct port over, you remake the games as is, I will buy them and I love them. You want to create a brand new version of that type of game, I would love it. And granted, I think that type of game would have more popularity now than it did back when the other time.
And I think it would help the hype with, you know, the idea of maybe one day we can get the shadow Pokemon from Pokemon Go into home. Like, that all, like, it just all, I think, builds together. I think it would be really cool.
That is the only reason why I'm keeping this dream alive, is because they have included shadow Pokemon into Pokemon Go. And it's important there. Like, it's an important part of that game. So I don't want to see shadow Pokemon die. But I think them doing a spin-off game based around an evil team creating more shadow Pokemon and you have to purify it just works really well. And I think that could be a fun spin-off game they could add. Granted, I'm going to always hype for it. Pokemon Revolution, Battle Revolution 3.0, whatever it is, Deluxe Plus Super Ultra Mega.
Yeah, Pokemon Revolution, Pokemon Stadium.
All of that combined.
Put in secrets to home, something, you know, we gotta have something somewhere.
Like, something like that would, I think, be the best bang for your buck for Pokemon, because it's gonna get people to buy other games and give it home compatibility, just so they can get those Pokemon, import them into their game, and then play a bunch of different formats with people online, all the cool graphics. You don't have to worry about a story, it's just gonna be battling, it can just be battling, or it can just be mini-games. And they can do a whole lot more with that, and it would sell super, super well. The other thing that I will always mention is Pokemon Party.
Yep, Pokemon Mario Party would do very well.
Not just, you know, Pokemon Stadium, but like actual Pokemon, like you said, Mario Party, where it's, all right, you get to pick one of, like, you know, 20 Pokemon, and you play as that Pokemon and you go down a board style game.
That would sell like hotcakes.
And it would be amazing. An easy crossover like that. You can do that with, even if you just did a, like a Mario Party DLC, that just includes Pokemon. Think of how much fun that would be, just by itself. I think there's a lot of ways they can go and a lot of different things they can do. We've talked about a lot of what we want. What do we think? What do you guys think is going to happen? Because I have one thought and I don't like it, and it's going to be black and white remake, just a pure black and white remake. They're going to announce some extra new mobile thing they're going to work on, and that's it. We're not going to get anything new. They're going to tease potentially Gen 10 coming next year.
I don't think they will. They never do.
It's too early. It's way too early. I honestly would be fine if they delayed it for a while, but...
So would I. But I think the only thing they're going to tease is going to be a Ilka remake of Black and White. And that's it. And it's going to be sad.
Unfortunately, I agree that that is the most plausible option, which makes me sad. I think another... Yeah, I think it's equally plausible that we get that, or, as we were saying before, the DLC plus a weird spinoff.
That'd be wonderful. I'd love a DLC. That's new content. I just have a feeling we're going to get nothing but, like, all right, we're going to remake these games, and that's it. Nothing new added.
I think we're getting one. I'm getting, we're going to get something. And my prediction is, I mean, yes, I do agree. I think we will get the BDS, the Ilka Unova game. I think we'll get that. I honestly believe we will get a Legends game that will be announced this weekend. My prediction is going to be that's going to be the Johto. I think we're going to get Legends Johto because we have Ho-Oh, the Ho-Oh lore about all the Entei Suicune, whatnot. We have...
Well, look at it this way. You have...
Paradox, past. I think it works so well.
You start in today's world. Let's say you get, like, you know, three starters from today, like any from Gen 9. Celebi shows up, and suddenly you're transported back in time.
I could see that. Celebi is so perfect for this, too.
Exactly. So, yes. For that concept, Celebi makes more sense than anything else. So... granted, if they're announcing another Ilka game alongside a Legends game, I'd be fine. I would love that. I just don't want it to just be a, all right, here's black and white. Pure black or pure white and
stark black.
Stark black or something crazy like that. That's it. That just, without there being something new, it's good for for people who've never played the games before. But for all the lifelong fans, it doesn't do anything for them.
I would still play it and enjoy it, but it would be like, okay, in 3 days I'm done with it and I'm putting it down forever.
I would rather them do something else or announce another spin-off game that's going to be... Even, like, new Pokemon Snap was fun.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I think we've talked about what we wanted, what we expect to happen in our wildcard predictions.
Think it covers it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into the topic. We will be back with our poke of the episode.
Poke of the episode.
And we are back with our Pokemon of the episode. This is National X Pokemon number 648, Meloetta, the Melody Pokemon.
It's Pokemon Black's Pokedex entry states... its melodies are sung with a special vocalization method that can control the feelings of those who hear it.
Yeah, Meloetta is a very unique Pokemon, and it's one of those Pokemon that can change its own form from normal psychic to normal fighting with the use of its own move. I think that's...
Relic Song.
Relic Song,
that's the name of it. Which I think it learns through Level Up as
yep,
well as...
Yep, it does.
Yeah, I think it's just Level Up. And it's currently in the Pokemon Scarlet and Violet games. I know it was the last Pokemon that people found because of a weird way of getting it. Shark, would you mind going over how you can get this in your Scarlet and Violet DLC?
Yeah. Yep. So how you get it is you have to go to the coastal biome in the Blueberry Academy. So you have to go beat all the game, beat the Teal Mask, blah, 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 get over into there. Then there is an NPC that kind of alludes to how the story is, but basically you go into coastal area. You have to find a spot where the music dies down and that there's a breeze that swirls around you. There's a couple of spots that do that. You can take a look. You probably find it online generally, but basically just kind of listen for the background music to kind of get a little quieter and a breeze with little leaf icons to swirl around you. Then once you're in that spot, you spin your character around 10 seconds or more, you know, just kind of like where you would... Like back in Gen 8, you would spin around and you would do the little Leon pose. You just basically have to do that. Get your character spin around for 10 seconds. Then after you finish spinning, push down on the D-pad to pull out your camera. Change the camera filter to the sepia filter. Then you spin around in your camera. And then eventually you'll find Meloetta right behind you. And then you'll be able to... take a picture, but then you can be able to try to catch it.
This is so wild because it really sounds like one of those Mew under the truck things, but it's real.
Yep. Yeah, pretty
and
much.
I love it.
Exactly. Yeah,
I adore it.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's like, you know, with the Keldeo, you had to basically, back in Sword and Shield, you had to get all the trio of them and you had to go to a certain spot where... You get it? This one is without having the condition of any other Pokemon. But yeah, no, it's so cool that it's just like this complicated, but, you know, very awesome.
It really feels like a mythical Pokemon, finally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned, Melowana has two different forms with the use of Relic Song. If you were to play with this Pokemon on, Showdown, it's one of the only ways you can put something to sleep now, because Relic Song doesn't always put something to sleep. It's a 10% chance it may put you to sleep. I think it always transforms, though.
Right? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, the differences between the forms are Melowetta base form, normal psychic, has 128 special attack and 128 spidef, along with 90 speed, 77 attack, 77 defense, and when it transforms, it gets 128 attack, 128 speed, 90 defense, and the 77s go into the special stats. So it goes from a special attacker to a physical attacker, and it has the move pool to do some crazy things. It can be very versatile in many different ways. You can run it physical, you can run it special. The special sets don't usually run Relic Song. It's only for the physical sets, because you have to, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Especially with Terror Blast now, it has really good coverage all around.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I've used this a lot in Gen 8, I think it was, or Gen 7, just because I could throw an Assault Vest on it, and it would just sit there and take a lot more hits than I expected.
Yeah. I think generally the special, just the base Melowetta is what people use, just because it's a lot easier, because you can actually use Choice Specs and Choice Scarf and all that.
Yes.
All Mind, all that stuff.
Well, yeah, and it has U-turn for U-turning shenanigans. I think, let's see, as I look through its move pool right now, Hyper Voice is your main stab for normal type. I don't think it gets a good normal physical move, which is its only problem there. But,
well, yeah. I mean, it does now. if you run it physical and you use Terra Blast,
you'd have to use Terra Blast. Yeah, on it, you'd have to Terra and be Terra normal, which is actually kind of funny, because
or just Terra Blast. Terra Blast, I thought, went off of your
only when you Terra. Otherwise, it's just Tri Attack without the anything, without the extra effect.
That's cool. Didn't know that. Yeah.
So. It's physical normal move is Facade, but it's like Facade, Close Combat, and you have to have Relic Song because you have to transform it, but then probably
It also has Serene Grace, so that 10% Relic Song is actually 20% to put something to sleep. You get, I'm trying to think of other good moves. It has all the punches for, 20% drops on things, or burns, stuff.
Yeah.
Thunderbolt,
Play Rough.
It's your standard Psychic type moveset. Is the way I see it. You get a grass move, you get some fire coverage, potentially, and that's pretty much it.
I also got the fighting move pool, too, when you have you have the punches. You actually got Triple Axel, which is...
Triple Axel is really cool.
That's really good. So, it has a lot of potential, and you can use it in many different ways. But it's definitely a fun mon that when you see it, you're like, what's this one going to do? So, yeah. I think that's all from Melowetta. Anyone else have anything else they want to share on this fun little Pokemon?
It has a fun trivia. Ooh. Since the effort value yields of the forms are different, Melowetta is the only Pokemon that has more than one unique effort value yield, which is funny. Kind of useless, since you don't really meet it in the wild. But
this is the only time you can get it in the wild.
Yeah, but yeah. But it's, I don't know, it's kind of funny. It has a really good shiny, like both forms get significantly better when they're shiny.
It goes from green hair to blue hair, right?
Yeah, teal. It goes from green to teal. And the hair in the pirouette form, which is the reason you have to spin, is you're making a pirouette, and it's the pirouette. Yeah. And it goes like fuchsia from orange, which is a stark improvement as far as I'm concerned.
Yes. I will say, if you do fight it in the wild, it does grant one attack, one defense, and one speed EV. Not that matters, but you know. It's always fun when I see three different stats on an EV yield versus just like one or two.
Yeah.
Alright, I think it's that is really all strange. For Melowetta. Try it out. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think. It's a fun Pokemon. We're hoping that it will sing us great songs into Pokemon Day.
Woo!
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Alright. Well, we will be back with our mailbag.
It's mail time!
Send in your emails!
And we are back with our mailbag. As, of course, the mailbag section is sponsored by Green Tauros, the fictional energy drink, that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Woo! Last week, they talked about the top five and worst, top five and bottom five legendaries. So we have a couple of emails coming in about people's opinions about all of that. Starting off, we have one from Barely Trying. How's it going, Puckle? Cody, aka Barely Trying here, and I'm here today to give you my personal opinion on the top and bottom five legendary. Let's hop right into it. Top five. Number one, Rayquaza. I stated my enjoyment for Rayquaza in the Dragon mailbag, but I also wanted to add that Gen 3 was my first generation, and Rayquaza has been my favorite legendary since its release. I'm confident nothing will ever change that. Makes sense. There's a lot of Gen 3 people that really like Rayquaza.
I mean, it's cool. It's strong. It has a cool role in the story. What's not to like? Great shiny, too.
I think most people's favorite generation just naturally coincides with their favorite legendary. That's my guess. Does that work for you guys? I'm just talking off the top of my head now. Because mine's Gen 4, and I love Palkia. I'm like, dang it, that aligned.
I honestly don't know, because my favorite legendary is a bit of a shifting thing. I do love Reshiramer, I do love Gen 5, but, you know, I also like Suicune, and I don't like Gen 2 all that much.
Suicune's not a legendary, is it? Is it legendary? It's not mythical?
No, it's a legendary.
Yeah, no, legendary trio. Yeah, it's a part of the trio.
Fair enough. Shark, what about you? Does your legendary align with your favorite generation? Or am I making this up and making this a lot longer than it needs to be?
I think you might be right, but I'm not. There's a few legendaries that I know that aren't in generations that I'm not super into, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of close, because I think my favorite is Ho-Oh, and I love Gen 2.
Back to the mailbag. Number two, Reshiram. I'm a sucker for elegant Pokemon, and honestly, this Pokemon has one of the best cries in the series. I got goosebumps the first time I heard it. And again, Blue Flare is one of, if not the best signature move in Pokemon. Is it still a signature move? I guess. Because Victini's the other one that has it.
Yeah, Blue Flare. Well, it's only on, like, only by event.
Number three, Dawn Wings Necrozma. Okay, now this is epic. No, but seriously, the colors on this alternate form legendary mix so perfectly. Easily the best alternate form legendary ever made. Four, Therian Enamorous.
Really?
The little turtle.
I love Enamorous, but I love the incarnate form.
Easily the coolest legendary turtle ever made, and it's not even close. Is there any other legendary turtle? Oh, no. Okay.
There's Terapagos.
Okay, yeah. No. That's just a wrong take right there, but I'll leave that for another thought. It's just a weird turtle cloud thing, but I wanted to defend myself here and say that I hate the incarnate form. I knew the genie trio was missing something, and the incarnate form wasn't it. The turtle is cool, though, so it balances out, I guess.
See, I love the incarnate form. I don't like the Therian form, but I love that there's someone who loves the Therian form.
That's why Pokemon's great, because everyone can have differing opinions.
Yeah.
And they're all right, except for the fact that it's not the coolest legendary turtle. Terapagos is there. That's just... Anyways, number five... Ho-Oh. It's the Phoenix version of a Pokemon, and it's so much better than Lugia. The only cool thing about Lugia is its shadow form. Back to Ho-Oh. It's the only good Pokemon from Gen 2.
Tyranitar has something to say.
Ferret has something to say? Sorry.
Well, it depends on how you define good.
Okay, Scizor? Heracross? Anyways. Honestly, I can't think of another good Pokemon from Gen 2, and I couldn't be more serious. Oh, Barely Trying. You are Barely Trying there.
you're a trying clutch patient and not barely.
Anyways, great, I do believe Shadow Lugia is really cool. Bottom five, number one, Silvally. It's number one on this list because it shouldn't be a legendary. It's an okay Pokemon, but there's no reason it should be a legendary.
You know, I don't disagree.
Number two, Calyrex. This is the protagonist from Legend of Zelda, not a Pokemon. It even rides a horse like characters from Legend of Zelda would. Glastrier is cool. Also, it has stupid legs. Is that about Glastrier or about Calyrex?
I think it's about Calyrex.
Okay. Aren't they just like little like twigs or something? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're lightly the noodles.
Registeel. Easily the worst of the Reggie quintet. Yes, even worse than Charizard Head Reggie. I hate it. I hate that it's so round when it easily could have been made more block-like the ice and rock are. And it doesn't look like it belongs with the other two OG Reggies. Terrakion, another part of a legendary trio that doesn't seem like it matches up correctly. The other two stand tall and look important when it's there, when there's this one who looks like it struggles to look at the other two in the eye. It's just there to look intimidating, no other reason.
So, okay, none of these are bad points. I have counter-arguments for many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love that there's someone who has such different opinions. I just adore it.
And bottom five, number five, Lugia. It's such an afterthought compared to its counterpart. Is there a bigger gap between the importance of a legendary pair than these two? Exactly. There isn't. Plus, just like everyone says, why isn't it water type? Yes, I know the answer, but I've seen Pokemon and their types have changed, so they can do it here. You know what? They should make it a water and fighting so it can justify those huge hands. Okay. So, is there a bigger gap between the importance of a legendary pair than these two? They made a whole movie around Lugia. Hoenn got nothing!
Exactly. I was going to say, who got a whole movie and who got a 5 seconds cameo in the anime?
Yeah, like, is there a bigger gap? Like, that is one of the biggest, like, claims I've ever heard, is that Lugia is an afterthought compared to Ho-Oh. Like, I understand liking one more than the other, but, like, Lugia has gotten so much more hype in the series overall than Ho-Oh ever has.
It's true, but it's also not incorrect if you look at it from the inside the story perspective. Ho-Oh has an entire city that has lore related to it. It made the legendary trio. It's got the whole thing with the rainbow. Lugia does have a lot less if you're just inside the story.
If you are looking purely at the game.
But that's a completely valid perspective.
Yes. If you look at the anime, you look at the movie, like, they bring in Lugia several times just because they can.
But if you look just at the games, which is a perfectly valid perspective, this is not incorrect. So?
Yes, sure.
See, it's fascinating that that statement is true both ways around, depending on how you look at it. It's amazing. I love it.
So yeah, that's my honest to God list, and I'm curious to see what y'all's thoughts are on the list. Honorary mention to Dialga and Galarian Moltres. They're easily top 6 and 7 for me. Until the next list, have a wonderful rest of your week. Well, thank you, Barely Trying. Up next, we have Whimsicott.
Yep. I have an email from Logan, a.k.a. Boots. Yeah, it's Boots, but it's Logan in the Discord, but it's also Logan, but it's Logan, a.k.a. Boots. And the email says, "Hey gang, Boots here. I have been listening religiously for a few months now, and I thought I'd contribute to the mailbag." What? Welcome to the mailbag. Thank you for your contribution. My top 5 legendaries are 5, Moltres. 4, Regirock. Probably because of the meme. Okay. 3 is Coridon, 2 is Lunala, and 1 is Kyogre, which would be Primal Kyogre if it was available. My bottom 5 legendaries are 5 Tornadoes, 4 Galarian Zapdos. It is just so ugly. They absolutely massacred my yellow bird man. Aww. 3 Tapu Bulu, 2 Cosmoem, and number 1 is a tie between Monkey Dory and Pheasant DPT. Someone did not like the new legend. And I don't disagree. I also don't like them. These are just my opinions. I really hope none of you are mad at me. Haha. No, we're not mad. Definitely not mad.
No. As much as we sound mad, we're not actually mad. It's just Pokemon's a way of expressing thoughts and feelings, and it's fine for anyone to have any fair.
Yeah. I really love the variety. Thanks for reading, Lucan.
Great. All right. Last up, we have a Shark.
All right.
With Red Metal Mantis.
Catch that Carablast, Thatch and Puckle cast. What's up, Puckle crew?
Catch that Carablast, Thatch and Puckle cast. That's a new one. I like that. All right. If you come up with more of these, anyone listening, send them in. These are fun. This is what makes things entertaining. This is how you get your email read.
All right. Over the last year, I've sent over a couple emails, and I'm glad you guys haven't generally enjoyed them. So I guess I'll short of introduce myself a little bit for this one. I started playing around the same time most of you did during Gen 1. I played in Gen 3 and then stopped for a while. I kept seeing photos of new Pokemon during the years, and I stopped, and I distinctly remember seeing Lucario and thinking it was some kind of legendary. I also saw Vanillix and said, wow, this is ugly. Then one day I bought a Switch with my adult money and played Switch and fell back in love with the franchise. Since then, I've been playing the TCG, playing old games I missed, and have been listening to the podcast to help catch up over the last 12 years. Now, my opinions about legendaries. I think they shouldn't be as accessible as they are in newer games. I don't think there's any merit to beating the Elite Four with only a Pokemon DT. It's like bringing a gun to a pillow fight. It's just not fair. I think that's valid for just like for main game. Post game, I think they should be very accessible just because you want some in each gen, but...
To each their own. Like, I remember growing up, I used to always use my Pokemon Deity or whatever it is to fight things, and then I'm like, oh, that's too easy. Let me make life harder.
I mean, you don't have to bring it to the Elite Four. It's nice to have the option for those who want it.
Yeah, but you don't want to put the main, like, box art behind a lot of tasks.
It's like when you see the Pokemon on the cover and you think, this Pokemon is the reason I'm getting the game, and then you only get it when the game is over. It doesn't feel nice.
That's true, too. This email's starting to get too long, so here's my top and bottom five. Top five, Rayquaza, Groudon and Kyogre's babysitter. Plus, the Delta episode is the best post-game story.
Ooh, I think I agree.
It's not wrong, because you do get to go up and do some pretty good fights, and then you go up into space. You haven't gone into space in any other Pokemon games, so...
It's like, so I think it is the best post-game story. It's not the best post-game content, because it's not as cool as its story would deserve it to be. Let's put it that way. Because it's just a lot of go here and then go there and then go back here again. I think if they had, like, done the Delta episode with the level of story immersion that we have for the DLCs in Gen 9.
That would have been nuts.
All right. Regidrago. All other Regis are pretty boring. Plus, it's a literal Dragon Ball.
Huh.
Galarian Moltres. OG Moltres was just a spicy chicken. This is a big upgrade. Plus, props to this Pokemon for the best art rare card in TCG.
Mm-hmm.
Xerneas. It's a great introduction to the fairy type. Is it Yggdrasil, the world tree, or is it a reindeer with Christmas lights? Either way, it's a good design.
100%, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Giratina. Yes, this is how you make a Pokemon as a villain. It's got big final boss energy. Plus, it's the only one with a good origin form.
Agreed.
Fair.
And now, bottom five. The whole Lake Trio. They're just discount Mews.
They are. The problem is they actually are.
Regigigas. Your mama's so fat, Regigigas told her to slow down.
That's not what I expected to see in the building. Well.
Zygarde. This is just a Digimon.
Or if it's shiny, it's toothpaste.
Enamorous. Hey, Frieza, wrong anime.
Excuse you. No, do not compare my girl to Frieza. No.
I see it.
Volcanion, dog with a hose. Somehow worse than dog with a shield.
Agreed.
It's a dog?
It's not. It's a beast.
It's not, but I mean, it's on four legs and it has a hose.
Oh, well, okay.
I mean, it's not, that's not far off.
It's less, sure.
Hope you have an awesome weekend, Red Mint Metal Mantis.
Thank you. Oh, God. And thank you for the loves.
All right. So who do we want to...
I think that's probably that's who we think should get the badge.
Oh, that's difficult because one gave us a lot of discussion and the other gave us a lot of laughs. So,
Red Metal Mantis already has a Green Taurus badge.
That settles it.
So which one are we going with?
Where'd he go?
Yep, barely trying.
You get the Green Tauros badge this week. Yay. So make sure you write in next week and tell us your thoughts on Pokemon Day. Just because by the time this episode comes out, Pokemon Day will be the next day. So either give us what you think is going to happen and see if it does, or do a comparison of what you thought would happen versus what actually happened. Thoughts on what actually happened. Pokemon Day thoughts in general. Talk to us. We want to hear from you. As always, you can check us out on Discord. On Discord, YouTube, and Twitch at The Puckle Podcast. There's also Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
YouTube. All of them.
All the social medias. We are there. I think it's either Puckle Podcast or The Puckle Podcast. Come hang out with us. We don't bite very hard. We're just, you know, a friendly group of people who like to play some Pokemon. And on that note, I've been Claude9.
I have been the fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I've been the Shark Finnegan.
And until next time, smell you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.